week three of our missions emphasis. Last week, I challenged you with, once you know everything the Lord has done for you, how the Lord saved you, how the Lord redeemed you, you cannot help but turn and reach for the next one. And that's our responsibility. Every one of us has been commissioned by God, go and make disciples. It doesn't say just here. It says Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? And so, yes, you have a job to do here. You have a job to do to the ends of the earth. And so how do we do that? That's what we've been talking with. And what a great cap to today on the way out. I encourage you to grab a mug. They say AGWM on them. They do not stand for Assemblies of God Women's Ministry, Pastor Mike. but they stand for Assemblies of God World Missions. And so I want to challenge you, grab a cup. They're free. Nothing. You don't have to do anything for them. But I ask if you grab one, every time you drink out of it, pray for our missionaries. Not a more powerful thing you can do than pray for our missionaries. And so on your way out, grab one, your wife grab one, grab a cup, and you'll be blessed. This morning, it's my honor to introduce you to a gentleman who loves missionaries. He loves our churches. He loves raising awareness of missions in our churches. And he has probably raised more money for missions than anybody I know. Would you give a hand for Stan Welch this morning?
Get my club. Looks like a rough bunch, so I want to be prepared. I've got a story to tell about that in a little bit. It's such an honor to be with you all today. And what a privilege to be in church with your pastor and his family. Would you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise for giving you such a wonderful pastor? Amen. I pastored a church for 25 years before I started what I'm doing now. And every once in a while, I'd step out and say, look at me, folks, I'm your gift. I'm sorry you didn't get any better than this, but this is what we've got to work with here. But you've been given wonderful gifts, and they are doing a wonderful job, and it's such an honor. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. I represent the missionaries of Southern Missouri, and we are the number one sending district or network in the Assemblies of God. Give yourself a hand. Amen. We send more missionaries than any other. We're not the largest district. We're about 12th in size. There's places in the United States that has more money than Missouri. Can I hear an amen? But people like you faithfully give. You support 26 missionaries on a monthly basis. And the missionaries say thank you and thank you for what you're doing. You support BGMC, Speed the Light. You love Fire Bible, and you're a great investor in Fire Bible. And so thank you for what you are doing for missions. So I'm here today to challenge you personally. What's your responsibility? What should you do toward missions? And so you got a little card in your hand. Everybody wave your card at me. Point two. Now take that card and find a pen. If you don't have one, borrow one. Write your name on it. That's all I want you to do right now. I want every family, every individual that here, young person alike, take your card, write your name. Because we're going to see what God says to you. If you don't have to give anything if God doesn't speak to your heart, but please wake up, because I think he will speak to you. And I think he will involve you in the mission of God. Today I want to look in Luke chapter 10. And as you're turning there, I'll tell my joke. I told it the first service. It went over pretty well. We'll see if you get it. The truth is, every Sunday morning, this is not a joke, every Sunday morning I look at a different crowd. A different crowd looks at me. Some of them think, Pastor, you didn't warn us. You know, But it reminds me of the story of the guest preacher. He comes, he's preaching. Things are going good. People are excited. There's amens. There's even a hallelujah or two. It is going great. This guest preacher comes to this perfect point to conclude. You ever been there listening to a preacher? He's at the perfect point to conclude the message. You know what this guest preacher does? Goes right on. Not only does he go on through one good point to conclude, but he goes through several. And the amens start getting less and less and less. And finally, there's only one guy saying amen, and it's the pastor. And the longer this guest preacher preaches, the louder the pastor begins to say, amen, Pharaoh. Guest preacher keeps preaching, amen, Pharaoh. So finally, mercifully, all preachers quit. So everybody look at me and smile. He will quit. You have that promise. And so the guest preacher and the pastor go out to lunch. And so they're eating lunch together, and the guest minister says to the pastor, thank you for letting me come. What a privilege to preach in your church. But he said, Pastor, I've never had anybody to say amen, Pharaoh, while I was preaching. He said, Pastor, could you tell me what you meant? Pastor looked him right in the eye, even pointed his finger at him. He said, I'll tell you exactly what I meant. I meant, let my people go. Let my people go. So if your pastor says amen, Pharaoh, over 4 or 5 times, I will let you go. Now, I do not want to hear that you start using that on him. I'm not giving you any ideas at all, okay? Let's read together Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He answered, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell into the hand of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let's pray. Lord, in the next few moments, would you take your word and bring it alive? Would you apply it to our lives and allow us to see our responsibility to do missions? Our responsibility to fulfill your heart. I ask in the name of Jesus to anoint me to preach and to anoint these people to hear. And may God come down from heaven and speak to us. And everybody said, amen. The lawyer asked the great question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? If there was ever a mission that God has, it's to get each of us signed up, our name in the book of life, so that we might live eternally. You know, this last group is younger than the first group. I look over the crowd, I can tell that. There's a few of us old people here, but most of you are younger. A lot of you don't think about that you ever going to get old. But you will. And if you go out to one of the local graveyards and you walk through there and you start reading those tombstones, you will find people of all ages are laid to rest. So we all better possess life. God wants to bring us back into relationship with Him. Sin and Satan has stolen from us the most valuable treasure anyone could ever have, and that's eternal life. People all around the world need to know about Jesus so they may possess life eternal. So the lawyer came, and he's going to test Jesus. Let me tell you something. You can put Jesus to the test. I'm not worried if you ask Jesus hard questions. You ask me hard questions, I'll get a little concerned. But if you come to Jesus with the hard questions of life, He will give you the answer. So in this scripture passage, we find the heart of God. We find the mission of God. The mission of God is so that everyone may possess eternal life. How many in the house that you would raise your hand boldly and declare, I am a Christian. I have eternal life. Would you raise your hand high? If you can do that, you have such a wonderful hope. But you know there are 8.5 billion people living on this planet. Now that's more than live in Brighton and the surrounding area. It's more than Polk County. And over 40-some percent of that 8.5 billion have never heard one clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I won't stop to think about that. I think everybody has a right to know about Jesus. Four things I want to talk to you about this morning if you want to do missions. If this church wants to do missions, if you as an individual want to be involved, there's four acts of missions. You must first stop. Second, you must stoop. Third, you must save. And fourthly, you must serve. That's what the Good Samaritan did. The first act of missions is to stop. You got to stop and look around at the need. The story, I read it to you. Guys going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was known as a place where robbers hid to kill, to steal, and destroy. There's somebody else that does that. His name is Satan. Jesus said he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But there was a man that fell among the robbers. They beat him. They stripped him. They took all that he had, and they left him half dead. There's a priest walking down that road, and he is religious. He knows God. His responsibility is to represent God to the people. He sees a man lying in the ditch, and he doesn't even break stride. I think he picks up the pace a little bit, because he said, I got to get out of here. I don't know what's going on, but I can't get involved. I can't touch this guy. He's half dead, and he may die. And if he dies, then I'm unclean. And then I don't get to do my religious thing. So he speeds out. Next guy that comes is a Levite. Now, Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel that did not get an inheritance of land like the rest of the tribes. But what they did get, in every tribe, they had cities of refuge. A Levite's whole life was to serve people, help people, give people help. If you got in trouble, you're supposed to run to their city. And here's a guy who is a part of a group of people that is to help. And when he sees the guy in the ditch, he goes and passes the other side. But then came a Samaritan. And you know, this kind of sticks. This was not a guy loved by the Jews. But you know what he did? He stopped. You will never be a part of God's mission if you don't stop long enough to see what's going on in this world. Stop. You've got neighbors that are dying and going to hell. Stop. You've got family members that are without Christ, without hope. Stop. There's people that live in your neighborhood that do not know Jesus, never heard the gospel. Somebody's got to stop. There's a world that hasn't heard about Jesus. Well, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven and I don't have time for this. Well, if you're going to do the mission of God, you must take time for this. I'm here today to ask you to do something. Stop. Stop your busy life. Stop living all wrapped up in everything. Because there's billions of people. Out of the billions of people that don't know Jesus, 2,200,000,000 of those people are either Buddhist or Hindus. They live with no hope. If you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, your ultimate desire is that you would no longer exist. Because they believe that life is this circle and you repeat it and you're reincarnated, and if you're a good person, you'll come back as something better. If you're a bad person, you'll come back as an Amish horse. Now, some of you don't get that because I live where the Amish live. And if there's one thing I would never want to be, is an Amish horse. Because when it's 110 degrees, those Amish horses are running wide open. So if reincarnation is true and you're bad, that's what you'll come back as. But you know what they hope for? Is a point of non-existence. 2,200,000,000 people need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day, 9 o'clock on my watch, I get a buzz. And it says, stop and pray for the Buddhist Hindu world. Whatever I'm doing, sometimes I'm busy, but so if I'm busy, in my mind and in my spirit, I stop. Do you understand? God is breaking into the Muslim world right now. They're having visions and dreams, and there's more Muslims being saved today than there's ever been. What we now need is people stopping for the Buddhist and Hindu world and praying for our missionaries and praying for more missionaries to go, because the only hope they have is Jesus. You've stopped. Your church has stopped everything it's done. Your pastor has stopped series of messages and said for 3 weeks, we're going to emphasize on missions. And so we've stopped. Now, secondly, we must stoop. Here's guys in the ditch. He's naked. He's full of blood. And he's half dead. If you're half dead, you're going to die if somebody don't help. And so there's one guy that stops. And then the Bible said he took pity on him when he saw him, and he went to him. If we're going to do the mission of God, we've not only got to stop and look over the situation, but we must start going where the need is. We've got to stop going and start. If we can't go, then we send people where the need is. There's places in this world that I have been that I thank God I don't live there. Amen? But you know what? We've sent missionaries there, and they give their life so that they might know Jesus Christ, those people. He went to him. I promise you, if you're high and haughty, if you're religious and important, if you think you're somebody going somewhere, you won't stop, and you most certainly won't stoop. Because when you stoop, you get your hands messy. This Samaritan stopped, he stooped. You know what he did? He exposed himself to danger. If you're going to do missions, you got to expose yourself. You got to take some chances. Young people, this generation needs to rise up and say, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll take some chances for Jesus. I don't have to know everything that's ahead. I don't have to have everything laid out for me. I can walk by faith and not by sight. That Samaritan stooped down, and he touched that man. And let me tell you, when you touch people that are ravaged by sin, it's messy. It's embarrassing. The guy's naked. It's embarrassing. It's awful. But he had no hope if somebody didn't stop and somebody didn't come to the place they would stoop down. Take a chance on ministry. To become involved in missions, take a chance. I had a lady who was in one of the mission service like I'm doing right now. And this dear lady had very limited income. She wasn't living on very much money. And God spoke to her and said, I want you to give for the next year $100 a month to missions. If I would have known that and known her, you know what I would have told her? It's too much money. You can't do that. But when she heard of the need and she stopped and observed it, then she stooped down and God spoke to her and she said, I'll take a chance. I met her. She's one of the most happiest persons I ever met because she couldn't wait to tell me, God has met my need. God has supplied this. I didn't know where the money was coming, but God has done a marvelous thing. If God speaks to you about faith promise giving, then stoop. That card doesn't say fact promise giving. Fact says, if after I pay my bills, I got this much left, and I can pay this much. Faith says, God, what would you channel through me? First thing you have to do is stop. If you don't take time to think about the need of the world, you won't take time to give to missions. Amen? Well, Brother Stan, you know, when I get a little more established in life, when all my bills are paid, if you wait for that, you're never going to give a dime. You know what you got to do? You got to start right where you're at. I want you to repeat this after me. I can't do everything, but I can do everything I can. That was pretty weak. We're going to try that again, okay? You ready? I can't do everything, but I can do everything I can. We're going to do it one more time. You're about to get it. I can't do everything, but I can do everything I can. Sometimes because we can't do everything, we don't do anything. Well, Brother Stan, what I could give won't make any difference. If you'll do what you should do, and your neighbor will do what they should do, and I'll do what I should do, then we'll send missionaries all around the world. A missionary going to Europe, let's say, and that's one of the darkest places on the planet, is Europe, will need $12,000 to $14,000 a month to do the work of missions. You say, well, I'd go for $12,000 or $14,000 a month. They don't make $12,000 or $14,000 a month. That's what it costs to live and do missions there. Well, Brother Stan, I can't give that much. But if you'll give what you can, do what you can, stoop and begin to give from where you're at, then God will begin to work miraculous things in your life. Number three, the third act of missions. First, you stop. Second, you stoop. And thirdly, you save. You save. Here's a guy laying in the ditch, half dead, bleeding to death. He's been beaten up, cut up, and he's dying in the ditch, naked, embarrassed, ashamed, and dying. And this guy begins to get claws and begins to wipe the blood away, begins to bind up the wounds, begins to pour in the oil and wine, and a man that would have died now is saved. He puts him on his donkey and gets him out of there. That's why we have churches, folks. Folks need to come to church because this is a sanctuary. You need to come to the activities of church. If you're trying to live for God, sir or ma'am, and you don't come to church but once every 6 weeks, I got news for you. You're not going to make it. Because you need the sanctuary. You need what is provided. This good Samaritan put this guy on his own donkey and saved him. Saved him from death. Jesus Christ has done what is necessary to bring life where death reigns. A few years ago, I was in the Ivory Coast in West Africa. And when, as you go further north in the Ivory Coast, it becomes more and more Muslim dominated. So we are doing pastor training. Me and a couple more preachers are teaching about preaching with our pastors. And I remember we're in one Muslim village that has a church right in the middle of the Muslim neighborhood, and we're teaching about preaching. And every once in a while, you would hear the rocks, because they would throw rocks on that tin roof just to let you know that they knew we were there and they weren't happy. So on a Tuesday night, we presented a gospel film. And what we had next to a Muslim village, we had a field, and we'd set up this huge screen, huge speakers, 375 chairs. And there were 12 chairs setting to the side. And these are those African form plastic chairs. All of Africa sits in those. And so there's 12 over there. It's still daylight. And I have sat down. That's where the guests were to sit, in one of those chairs. While I'm sitting there, a guy comes up to me on a motorcycle. Looked like a 125 Kawasaki. And he slides right in front of me, and he gets off of that motorcycle. He gets off for a while. He's 6'10" if he's an inch. He's looking down at me. If I'd have been standing, he would have been looking down at me. And he's yelling at me. Well, I don't know if he's talking French or he was talking the native dialect, but what I did pick up, he wasn't happy I was there. And so I get looking for the missionary. Where's the missionary when you need him? And so I get the missionary, and he comes, and this guy and the missionary, they go at it. And what this guy is saying, you have no right to be here. I'm an elder in this village, and we don't want you here. So he finally gets on that motorcycle and takes off. Now, I know what you all would have prayed. Lord, let him come back to the film and bring more of his friends. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That wasn't my prayer. My prayer is I hope I never see him again. Because I had just been at a church that day. When I walked out of the front door, I walked over the bones of the martyrs. Not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, but it happened that year where they had came in and shot them down. They were buried. So I knew I was in a real place with real possibilities of problems. So it gets dark. All of a sudden, there's brush between us and that village, and we begin to see lights coming through the brush. Now, what it was, everybody's got a cell phone. They had their cell phone light on. I don't care where I've been in the world, everybody has got a cell phone. They may have nothing there, but they'll have a tower with some kind of solar generator so they can talk on their cell phone. So here they come. They fill up those 375 seats. There's people standing around the edge. The film starts. The film, this gospel film, was about a young man who gets saved in one of their villages. His family was a part of the occult and idol worship and all the things they do. He gets saved. So the film is that now he has an uncle who's in charge of this, is going to try to poison him. Now I know what's happening because there's a guy sitting next to me interpreting. So we get to this point, is our Christian friend going to die or live? And they shut off the film. And so they asked me to step up and preach. And so here we all, I can't wait to see what happened, but I've got to preach. So I preached Jesus' first message. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I preached to probably 500 Muslims. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is available. All you have to do is turn to him, because that's what repentance is to turn from your old life to your new life. And I preach a simple message through an interpreter. And I give an invitation, and 75 Muslims step out. And friend, when you do that, you put your life on the line. At the end of the line was a young man, probably 20 years old. Tall, handsome man. He was in a white robe with a white turban. I've got a picture of him. And I asked the missionary, I said, who is this guy? Why is he dressed this way? And he explained to me that this young man was being taught by the local imam, the leader of the mosque, to be a Taliban fighter. He's being trained to kill people just like me and you. And do you know what he heard? The gospel. The gospel that saves. He stepped out, put his life on the line. That's why we invest in missionaries, because they go with the gospel that can penetrate the heart of anyone, anywhere, and they can be saved. First three things: you stop, you stoop, you bring the message that saves, and number four, you serve. He said, he took the man to the inn after he had bandaged him up. He took care of him. And then the next morning, when the man was out of critical condition, he went to the innkeeper and he said, here's 2 silver coins. You use this to take care of him. If there's more spent, when I come back, I'll settle accounts. You know, he served. The good Samaritan willingly served the man he was saving. Let me tell you something. You got to serve people if you know Jesus. It's not all about me. It's about him. And it's about others. And if we're going to do missions, then we'll be serving people. That's what this man did. He served. He gave the 2 silver coins. The Good Samaritan is a type of Christ that came and found us in our sins. The 2 silver coins is a type of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do something and to help people. We serve. Missions is our willingness to save, to serve those that we're saving. Y'all remember the story of Jonah, right? Jonah gets swallowed by this big fish and gets threw up on the bank, and he goes to Nineveh and he preaches, and this is what he says: in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. That was his whole message. And from the king to the slave, everyone accepts the message and repents. Remember that story? You take your Bible and turn right, and you will run into a little book called Nahum. You know what Nahum's about? The destruction of Nineveh. Wait a minute, preacher. They all got saved. And now, a number of years later, God said, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the planet. Doesn't compute. You know why? Jonah didn't stay. Jesus said to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said to go make disciples of them, teaching them to observe all I've commanded them. And he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We must have missionaries on the ground. Now, let me tell you, I believe in projects. Your pastor will agree that I work hard to raise money for projects every year. But you know what I believe more than in projects? I believe in missionaries. Let's say there's a village and they've got dirty water. Well, we helped drill some wells along the Zambezi River. There was a stretch along the Zambezi River where over 100 children a year were being eaten by crocodiles. I think that's pretty terrible, don't you? They're going to the river to get water. They're getting eaten by crocodiles. We help drill wells in those villages. And let's say those kids didn't get eaten by crocodiles. And they're drinking clean water. And so instead of dying at 35, they live to 70. And then they die. They go to the same hell that they would at 35 if somebody doesn't tell them about Jesus. That's why on a monthly basis, you need to invest into the missions program of this church so that we can send more missionaries. If we got billions of people that haven't heard, I don't think we've done enough. I've heard the gospel ever since I was. They took me to church at a week old. And I've been there, they drugged me the whole time. I didn't have a choice. And I've heard thousands of messages. I've heard of the grace of Jesus. I've seen people healed before my very eyes. I've seen the Spirit of God move and slay people. I've seen lives radically changed. But there are billions of people that have never heard that Jesus saves, that Jesus came, and we must serve. We must stop. We must stoop. We must save, and we must serve. You know, we need the Word of God. You believe in Fire Bible. I believe in Fire Bible. I give to Fire Bible because I believe every language on this earth has a right to have in their own native tongue the Word of God. You give me a Greek New Testament, and I'm in trouble because I'm going to have somebody that has done the work to translate. But you give me the Word of God in my own language, it brings life, it brings hope, it brings help. That's why we invest. We're serving those that need so desperately. So Jesus tells the story to this man. This guy trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Who do you think was the neighbor? And the lawyer answered, the one that showed mercy. So Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, you got that card in your hand. What are you going to do? While you're considering that, I'll tell the short version of my story. This club is from Vanuatu. Vanuatu is an island chain in the South Pacific consisting of 85 islands, 1,200 miles off the coast of Brisbane, Australia. I stood in a village, a remote village, on the island of Santos, when the chief of that village, we were getting ready to leave, and the chief of that village came to me with his club in his hand. used to have streamers on it. You can see there's tape on it. And he came to me with his club in his hand, stood face to face, eye to eye with me, and the missionary translated these words to me. If you would have came here just a few years earlier, I would have met you with this club, and I would have killed you. Now, the strangest things will go through your mind in circumstances. The folks from Vanuatu are the last, some of the last, them and Papua New Guinea, are the last recorded cannibals. I'm standing there looking at this guy eye to eye. He's saying, if you'd come a few years ago, I would have killed you with this club. And I'm thinking, you would have eaten me and thought, happy days are here again. We really do like white meat, and we're going to eat for a while. That honestly went through my mind. Standing next to me was Curtis Washam. Some of you that go to camp know Brother Curtis. He's the camp director. Curtis is not just skinny. He's bony. You know, he don't like food. I don't understand him. I just don't comprehend. He just eats because he has to. Curtis is standing next to me, and I also thought this. They wouldn't even have touched you. They'd have sent you home to tell Sherry what happened to me. But he looked at me, and he said these words that changed my life. I cannot look at missions the same way ever again. He looked at me, and that club raised, and he said, but you sent a missionary. Well, I knew that I didn't give enough money for that missionary to go, but I did participate. I couldn't do everything, but I could do everything I could. And he said, you sent a missionary, and he told us about a God that loved us so much. This is a group of people that worship their ancestors. They worship the trees. They worship the animals. They worship the dead. They don't have any hope. They're eating people, eating their heart out, trying to get their strength. And he said he told us about a God that loved us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. And he died for my sins. And God raised him from the dead on the third day. And then he reached toward me. And he said, now you are my brother. And he wrapped his arms around me, and I wrapped my arms around him. That's why I give to missions. That's why, because people will go where people don't know, and people will respond. One of these days, I doubt that I ever get back to that remote village again. But one day, out of every tribe and every tongue and every kindred and every nation in the book of Revelation says that we will stand around the throne of God. I think God's going to arrange that me and this old boy find each other again, and we will embrace one more time, and we will say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and praise. But that would not have happened. People like you and me didn't do our part. Say it with me again. I can't do everything, but I can do everything I can. Now we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God what he wants you to give on a monthly basis to the missions vision of this church. I'm not asking you to give somewhere else. This church has a vision for missions. You're supporting 26 missionaries. I got another 26 for you. You're giving to projects. There's more projects to give. But that won't happen unless each one of us does our part. So take that card, take it in your hand. Young people, take it in your hand and say, Jesus, tell me what you want me to give. Tell me. I mean, I believe Jesus knows your name. I think he's got your credit card down and your bank account. He's not struggling. He knows where you're at, and he knows what he'll need to funnel through you. Let's pray. Lord, speak to these wonderful people. You know them, and you know what you want to do through them. Lord, let them just be obedient, because whatever you say is right. There's no amount too small. There's no amount too big. It's just what you say and speak into our hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.